seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome again. Amen. Amen. And if you don't know it, we're waving at you online. If you're listening, we are talking to you about some great things tonight. Amen. And so we'd like you to sit back. We'd ask you all to get an extra sheet of paper. We're going to take some notes. We're going to go through the scriptures a little bit. So get your thumb turning or device clicking, fingers ready. Amen. So we're going to go through some scriptures. We got some extra scriptures that we don't have included in the handout we normally give. And so we want you to be go along with us. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us. Those of you are here in person, we're just so thankful that you're coming out to worship with us on Wednesday night. And we say thank you, thank you, thank you to those online. And if you're for the first time, they'll give you the information where you can please fill out a digital connection card, connect with us, and fill out the information that they send the text word welcome to that number on the screen as you see it. And, of course, a link will come back to you, and then you can fill out your digital connection card accordingly and as it responds. So we'd love to be a blessing to you, love to connect with you further, and please do that for us. All right, praise God. And we just thank you so much for being with us tonight. Click that like button or smash that like button if you're on YouTube and Facebook, and be sure to share it with your friends so you can help us spread the word and spread the good news of the gospel with others. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we ready to get in the word? Amen. All right. Let's turn with me to 1 Peter 2, 1. We are in our I Will teaching series or emphasis. Every other week we do groups. So we've gotten 1 week behind because we had the ice and bad weather here in Texas. So we're getting back on track. So we'll get back on track with our groups on next week. And, of course, we'll do 2 weeks of groups, so we'll be back on schedule. So we're going to do 2 weeks of groups starting next week and the week after that. So we look forward to doing that. So if you're in town, please come join us in our groups, because this is where we break the word down and we grow and connect together. We have just a pathway, we call it, a discipleship pathway and process. We're calling it CALLED. And the first three words, first four words, C-A-L-L. So that just means we're celebrating what the Lord's doing in our lives, how we're enjoying Jesus. We're accountable to each other for certain things. And we kind of go through that on Wednesday night. And then we learn some things together. And we commit to taking that obedience step to live it throughout the week, throughout between weeks. So next week, we'll come engage with us in our groups. We call them faith-like groups. They're really discipleship groups, but they're both men and women. So come and join us next week so you can learn to be a disciple and become a disciple maker who makes other disciples. Praise God. So 1 Peter 2, 1 through 2, it says, So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave the pure milk so that we will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nurture. So underline that phrase, so that you will grow. So we're talking about tonight, I will grow together with others. So you have to make a commitment. I wills is a strong, definite affirmation and statement of purpose that you can make. Based on your quality decision, you say, I will grow together. You know, when we don't grow, it's a little dangerous. We become kind of dangerous Christians. And so last time we talked about I will worship together with others, and we broke that down. So you can go back and listen to that and watch that on our archive videos, or if you're listening by audio, you can listen to it on our website. But tonight, we're taking the next key issue or the key focus. The next key focus is I will grow. Now, you don't want to just grow independently and individualistically. Yes, you do have to grow as an individual. But you want to grow together with others. We want to grow together with others. So that's our subject tonight. That's our emphasis tonight. And we'll be breaking that down over the next 2 weeks because we got a lot to cover. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. There it is again. Ephesians 4:15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Growing in every way now. Growing in every way. So you grow as an individual. You grow as a group together with other Christian believers and Christ followers. Now here's some, right here I want to pause and talk to you about some clarifying points about growth. Because I've got responsibility of making it clear and making it simple and understandable so you can practically walk this out and work this out. So I want to take you through some other scriptures. If you would turn with me to Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 through 21. So I'm going to give you three key markers or measuring sticks, so to speak, of how you are to grow. How do you look at your growth? So I want you to write down on your extra sheet of paper or on your notes on the back these three big words. And leave some space so you can write the scriptures down or write notes as the Lord directs you. And if you're at home, take notes on these three things, because we're going to discuss them more in the groups next week, in the next 2 weeks. Number one, first, live. Live. Make it real simple for you. Live. And then beside that, put in either parentheses or note by it, live in Christ and through Christ. How are we supposed to live? We, as a Christian, we live in Christ and through Christ. Now, we've said it before in previous teachings on Wednesday night. You and I look a whole lot better in Christ than we do outside of him. We do more and do better in Christ than outside of Christ. Okay? And so, and we said before, if you're not in Christ, you're in crisis. So how are we supposed to live? In Christ and through Christ. Okay? So let's look at some of the scriptures. The other word, just put the other word some distance down, leave some space. The other word is die. D-I-E. Die. That's the second one. How are we accountable to each other? How do we look at it practically that we're growing? We live and we die. What do we die? We die to self and you deny yourself. Even the communion ordinance and the Holy Communion worship time is you show forth the Lord's death till he comes. The scripture says that. Amen. And Jesus even referred to, except a steed die and go into the ground. It doesn't do any good. Did you know you're living to die? But you die to certain things. You die to yourself. You die to you deny yourself. The third word, the third big marker, or the big word, is give. Everybody say give. Give. What do you give? You give in your life, your service, and sacrifice to others. You're giving your life, your service, and your sacrifice to others. You're giving. So live, die, give. So when we talk about discipleship or being a disciple, being a church, we're talking about people growing in living in Christ and through him, through Christ, dying to what? To self, to deny yourself. And what? Giving your life, your service, and your sacrifice to others. We always say anytime you come to church or anytime you're out in the marketplace, you ask those questions, go to a meeting or go in your job, you know, Lord, who can I help? What can I learn? Always two powerful questions that open you up for growth. Always open you up for growth. There are purposeful, intentional questions to get you to think about growing. Amen. And so we should get good at that. And then, of course, we said play those include me prayers where you say, Lord, include me in what you're doing here at the moment. If you're in a crowded grocery store, you can pray that prayer. That's a great opportunity to pray that prayer. Lord, include me in what you are doing. What are you doing here, God? What are you doing here, Lord? Talk to the Lord. And that gets you in a position of growth because you get to step out and work with God in what he is doing. You get to work with God in what he is doing right there at that location. Could be a job, could be a family event, could be the grocery store or any place in the market, et cetera, et cetera. Amen? And so we're learning to what? Be the church and build the church. Everybody see that? All right, the scriptures under live are this. Galatians 2:20 through 21. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Now, notice how many times the word live is in these two verses. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives what? In me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died in vain. So you live in Christ and through Christ. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For we are his, I'm sorry, wrong one. Philippians 1, 21, sorry. It says, excuse me, for me to live is what? Is Christ. And to die is gain. So for you to live is what? I live for Christ. I live in Christ. I live through Christ. I live by Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3, 9. 1 Corinthians 3, 9. Follow along with me if you can. 1 Corinthians 3, 9, for we are God's fellow workers. Fellow workers. Now, not vacationers. But fellow workers, you are God's field and you are God's building. That should give you some indication of how you're living. You're living to work. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then as workers together with him also plead you not to receive the grace of God in vain. So we are workers together with who? With him. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created where? In Christ for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk or live in them. You should be living in the works of Jesus. You should be living as a co-laborer or the workmanship of God. Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but more in my absence, work out, everybody say work out, your own salvation. Now notice it doesn't say work for. See, religion tries to work for its own salvation. It says work out. When you go to the gym, I need to get back there, but people do what? Work out. They work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works, Notice I'm emphasizing works. In you both the will and do of his pleasure. Amplified says his good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. So God's working in you, and you have to work that out of you as you work together with who? With God. Now, the last scripture here on under live is 1 Corinthians 13:13. Many of us know it. Now abide what? Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, what? Is love. So when we live, we grow in love. How do we grow? In love, the love of Christ. So think about it. The two main manifestations of love are what? Giving, forgiving. So our giving lifestyle, our generous giving ourselves, giving our time, talent, treasure, giving our testimony should increase, should grow. It should not stop or stay stagnant. So our giving is growing. If our love is growing, our giving responses and reactions are growing. Now, also forgiving. Two main manifestations of love. Trying to make it simple and clear. Giving and forgiving. Forgiving what? We go from, you know, 5 years holding on to stuff. Holding on to grudges, you know, offenses, you know, oughts. Things that ought not to be there, are you got to get rid of those oughts, anything against anyone. Go from 5 years, and maybe we go down to 5 months. Still not there yet. Still got to grow. Go down to 5 weeks. Then we can get down to 5 days. Still not there yet. Then we get down to 5 hours, and then 5 minutes. Amen. If you hold on to stuff for a long time and it's been days already, then you know we've got to grow in love. We got to grow in love. We also grow in faith. Faith must grow. Like it says in Thessalonians 1:3, their faith grew exceedingly. We said when your faith grows I'm just repeating it what Kenneth E. Hagin said. Your faith grows, three things occur. Three things occur when your faith grows. Number one, Satan's dominion over you wanes. Or you can say weakens. He gets a weaker grip on your life. He can't really deal with you effectively anymore. Or it gets lesser and lesser. Satan's dominion over you wanes. Number two, circumstances become less formidable or formidable, however you want to say it. That means circumstances don't rock you for 2 or 3 weeks. They may rock you for 2 minutes. But when you grow in faith, circumstances become less formidable or formidable. And then number three, fear is destroyed. So by faith, your faith growing, you learn to not succumb and struggle with tormenting, ungodly fear. That insidious spirit of fear no longer torments you and terrorizes you. You might have had use something simple. You might have had a fear of flying or fear of heights. By faith, you overcome. 1 John 5:4. This is the victory that overcomes the what? World. Even our faith. So we said before, your faith level determines your victory level. So part of that victory level means I overcome former fears, former phobias. Some people just absolutely freak out when the money gets funny. You shouldn't be getting freaking out as you grow in faith. Now you know, I know where my source is. I know who my supplier is. I trust God. I don't trust what I see and feel. I trust the word of God more than what I trust and see and feel. Somebody say, glory to God. Those are the two big areas of living in Christ and through Christ. Our love walk and our faith life. Now there's others, but those are two I just want to make clear for you. And so we're going for it. Why is this? Because we just read 1 Corinthians 13. By these three, faith, hope, and love. Greatest is love. Well, where is 1 Corinthians 13? It's sandwiched between the gifts, the charismata, the charis, the spiritual moves and manifestations of the Holy Ghost, things that pertain to the Holy Ghost, and 1 Corinthians 14, which is, you know, tongues and prophecy and the motivational utterance gifts of the Spirit. And so he's saying us love is the greatest in the context of these things. So write this down. Love is the greatest motivator. Why is love greater? It's the greatest motivator. Whether you have a whole bunch of gifts and talents and abilities, listen to me, saints, because this is where that love chapter is placed. I read it almost every day, probably every day this year so far. But this chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, tells us when you're operating in the things of the Spirit or you operating in the church context or personal context, your motivator needs to be love. In at the house, because everyone at the house, if you have several people, everybody has different talents, gifts, abilities, graces given by God. And sometimes people can have the wrong motivation. But he's telling us to keep an atmosphere of love in our house. We need to let love be the motivator. Matter of fact, faith works by love, right? So your motive, even when you're giving, should be love. Love's the greatest motivator. The law of love is the royal law. But I want you to also respect and honor faith as equally as important as your love, because love is the greatest activator. Faith is that greatest activator, excuse me. Love is the greatest motivator, but faith is the greatest activator. That's why this church exists, because we carry the message and mandate from where we got it from to carry the message of faith. We're faith people. We're love people, but we're faith people. Faith is the greatest activator. Why do we need to activate? You need to activate your covenant, because without faith, you can't activate any of your covenant blessings or benefits. You can walk around what we call abnormal Christian. When I say abnormal, meaning you don't live by faith. The just shall live by what? Faith. We go from faith to faith. But faith is the greatest activator. Love's the greatest motivator, but faith is the greatest activator. It accesses, and it appropriates the covenant, our better covenant established upon better promises. If you don't use your faith, then all those exceeding great and precious promises never get activated for you. That's why God will fly over 1,000 Christians and land on the one that's praying or saying in faith. Because faith moves God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we'll stay in our struggles, we'll stay stagnant in our growth. Satan will continue to reign unholy terror in our lives. Circumstances will seem like they're so big and insurmountable, and we'll be filled with fear. Why? Because we haven't learned the law of faith. We haven't learned to live by faith. And faith is the key that puts us in or places us in position to be workers together with God. We just saw those workers. You can't work with God if you're not in faith, because you got to trust him. You can't trust what you see. You can't trust and live by how you feel and what you feel. You got to be moved like God is moved by faith. So we cannot be laborers together with God and live in Christ or live through Christ if we're not operating in faith. Amen. This is how we become workers together with God, by faith. Our faith is what activates, accesses, appropriates the new covenant, the benefits and blessings of who we are in Christ, what we possess in him. The law of faith, or we say the principle of faith, when we say a law, I mean, this is a high law. These are two, the prime, these are 1A and 1B of what we need to major in. Our love walk and our faith life. Our faith walk. In the scriptures we just read, we understand that we don't work for God. We work with God. Some people just trying to be noble in one sense of the word. Say, well, I'm going to do this for God. No, God don't need us to do this for him. He's God all by himself. We don't make God better by doing stuff for him. We don't make him higher or bigger because we do stuff for him. He's already the most high. There's no higher to get. There's no better to get. There's no wiser to get because he's the only wise God. We work together with God. Everybody say, we work together with God. We don't work for salvation, as we read in the scriptures. We don't work for salvation. Our role and responsibility is to work out what God has worked in us by cultivating the character of a godly life. And godliness begins with being godlike. God is love, and God is a faith God. Do you see what I'm talking about? All right. And so our discipleship is costly. It costs us the surrender and submission of our choice daily, our daily choice to live in Christ and through Christ. You can't do it without love. You can't do it without faith. And let's get to die. Deny yourself. 1 Corinthians 15. Woo. I affirm, verse 31, 1 Corinthians 15, 31, I affirm by boasting in what I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In Christ, I die daily. In other words, he says, I kill my agendas. I kill my affections to do whatever I want. When you say Jesus is Lord, that means he's master, owner, ruler, controller. I know some people love to stay in control. They love to manipulate and control. But he's a controller. So that means what? He gets to tell you and me what to do. We don't call the shots. We don't have the final say. He has the final say. He is Lord, and we have to let him have his way. Amen. So daily dying to self in the light and life of the resurrection. So you live lifted by the power of the resurrection when you die first. You can't be resurrected until you die. But some people think resurrection is a historical event, but they don't see it as a daily power. See, when you die to yourself, you get resurrected in Christ. And you live out by the power of his resurrection. Luke chapter 9. Luke 9:23. Jesus is talking here. He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, that's a disciple, to follow him, let him deny himself and do what? Take up his cross, how often? Daily. And follow me. Now, all you have to do is think about how many days last week did I take up my cross? That cross is your role, your responsibility in him. What does the Lord have me do? See, we don't take a, like we said in the first section, when you live, he said we are workers together with God. We're God's workmanship. We are not on vacation. So you can take a job vacation, a family vacation, but never take a what? Faith vacation. take up your cross daily. And so some people shudder at that. Now let's look at this in Colossians. Look at another form of death that we have to deal with. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. It says, verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and on things of the earth. For you, what? You died. Now, I know you're breathing right now, but the real you, your spirit, died with Christ. And your life is hidden with who? Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then we will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death. So you got death work to do. What do you put to death? Now, it's progressive because it says put to death and then says put off and then put on in this chapter. But just look at the first action. Put to death. Do you know there's things that you're supposed to kill? You're supposed to terminate its existence in your life. He said, put to death your members which are upon the earth. What is it? Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. So he said, you got to put these things to death. In other words, those things are not like God. Or not of God. And you got to put them to death. Everybody say live, die, give. All right, let's go down to give. We give our life, our service, and our sacrifice to others. John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. What are you doing? Lay down your life for your friends. It didn't just say your family. It just said your friends. That's a covenant term. That means you're in relationship supernaturally with other saints and other Christian believers and Christ followers. You lay down your life for the spiritual family of the church, your faith friend. So you give yourself for them. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 16, I'm not going to go there, but it talks about those out of the household of Stephanus who devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. In other words, they devoted themselves to serve other saints. That's why we come to the church and we ask those two purposeful and powerful questions. Who do we help? What can I learn? Who do we help? So that means, how may I serve them? That's your prayer to God. That's your prayer to the Lord Jesus. How may I serve them bigger, better, more beneficial? How do I serve them? That means we're actively thinking about ways that we can do our service and our sacrifice to others bigger, better, more beneficial. 1 John chapter 3. Little John 3. 1 John 3, 16 through. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for who? The brethren. That means sometimes we got to sacrifice. I want them to be blessed. I want them to be built up. I want them to be benefited. So we don't have an eye problem. You know what an eye problem is, right? Not these, but the letter I. Me, myself, and I. Amen. But whosoever has this world good and see his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in what? In truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Now remember, in our groups, in our discipleship groups, and if you're online, if you're local, come with us, join with us. You know, our focus is what? Enjoying Jesus. and fully engaging in following Jesus. That's it. Real simple, real clear. Are you enjoying Jesus? Now, usually we say this, if you're not enjoying Jesus, there's usually three things that are hindering: your enjoyment of Jesus and your full engagement in following Jesus. There's three things. There's usually a sin that's been committed or omitted. We say sins of commission or omission. There's a lie that you've listened to or been deceived, being deceived by. Because, you know, the enemy gets in the mix. He doesn't want you to grow. Because when you grow, when I grow, we help the church grow. See, that's individual growth contributing to church growth. This is, I will grow with others. It starts with, I got to grow. And then my growth helps other people grow, helps the church grow. So if there's a problem with me not enjoying Jesus or not being fully engaged in following Jesus, it's usually a sin that I've committed or omitted. There is a lie that I've listened to or being deceived by, or there's a wound, a hurt, a harm, or something that hurt me or hit me that I'm holding on to and harboring in my life. There's usually the sin, the lie, or the wound. But everybody say, Jesus is a healer. Everybody say, Jesus is a restorer. And Jesus is a deliverer. He can deliver you from whatever's hindering you from growing. Now, in our format, we set these words, and then we'll get back to our handout. Call, C-L-L. We see go through calls. First one is celebrate. So everyone should have something to share that they celebrated, that they want to celebrate with other believers that previous week. How did I enjoy Jesus last week? Well, you know, when we look on social media sometimes, you don't see a lot of people enjoying Jesus. Why? Because things were bad. Power, electricity, internet down, cold. A lot of grumpy people. Unfortunately, a lot of grumpy Christians. But we should be focused on who? Jesus. And fully engaged in who? Following who? Jesus. So we celebrate what the Lord has done and how we enjoyed him in our journey last week or the previous week. Then we go move to A, which is accountability. What is that? You know, we made a promise before our brothers and sisters. I will do something. Then our obedience step tells us that did we do what we said the Lord told us to do? Remember, we said faith is not about sitting. Faith is not about watching. Faith is about doing. It's about working. Working how? Working together with God. So God told me to do this past week. I made a choice and publicly announced, I will X, Y, Z. And then we follow up in accountability. Did you do what you said the Lord was leading and telling you to do? Then we have learn it and then live it. So let me just expand on learn it just a minute, because this is development in our discernment. When we learn as a disciple, because disciples are disciplined learners. Disciples are disciplined learners. Discipline is one word for discipline is enforced obedience. Enforced obedience. So in other words, you make yourself do the word. Don't just hear it, do it. You make yourself apply and act on the word. You make yourself do it. So we're developing discernment as we're learning as disciples. What these areas we have to grow and get better at. And it's how do I hear from learn first learn how do I hear from the Lord? You know, some of us have been in kingdom more than a day, right? And it should become a point when we can talk to our Heavenly Father and hear from Him and hear from our Lord Jesus Christ. So we practice that in the group context and in the personal spheres of influence that you find yourself in throughout the week. We learn how to hear from the Lord. What's God saying? What's God saying Monday afternoon? When I'm thinking I'm bored, but God is never bored. God is always busy working. We just read that today. Somebody say, glory to God. And then we learn how to hear from the Lord for others. You are responsible to and responsible for. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Really quick. Praise the Lord. Y'all getting something out of this tonight? Galatians chapter 6, it says this, verse 1 through 5. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. What is the biggest temptation to disciples or becoming disciple, a discipler, a discipler or disciple maker? It is to stop being and stop doing the work of discipleship. Stop growing, basically. Most people get tempted to stay casual and stagnant. They think, I'm comfortable enough, I'm living good enough, I don't need my faith anymore. That's a sad statement. Or I'm too busy to really stretch myself out in service or sacrifice to love others. So I keep all the love to myself because I don't want to overextend myself in love. Okay? He said, that's the temptation. But it's also to sin or misconduct. Bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. There it is. So those are people that you are responsible to and responsible for. Now, for example, when my kids were little, Pastor Cynthia and I were responsible for our children. They're all adults now, so they're responsible for themselves. I'm not responsible for their sin or the consequences of their sin. Now, I can choose to be, but that's not what I'm supposed to do. Amen. But I'm responsible to still to love them. Amen? You and I are responsible to people, but they're responsible for themselves, particularly if they're adults. Amen? But people that we're responsible to, when they are overtaken by a temptation, a trouble or fault, misconduct, misdeed, then we're responsible to what? Restore them. As the Spirit communicates and controls us and conveys to us how to restore them. We don't crush them. We don't criticize them. We restore them. Are you listening to me? So we learn how to hear from God for others, because all of us need to be able to do that as disciples. You need to be able to hear. If I'm in trouble, I'm hoping somebody's hearing from God to pray and to practice restoration. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when you're growing as a disciple, I remember doing this all of my Christian life. At a certain point, God was beginning to use me to go restore people because people got offended or got mad or got really hurt. And they chose to be out of church or to walk off the beaten pathway of Christ. And so you had to kind of bring them back. Lord, help use me to restore them. See, when we're thinking religious, we're thinking, oh, man, they ain't got in sin. And we talk about them, we judge them real quick. Or you prejudge the situation and begin to criticize and complain about them. That's being relationally irresponsible. We all are responsible to love one another. See, baby Christians make mistakes. You know, our grandson still forgets to go to the bathroom sometimes. But he's still in that baby toddler age. But love covers. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. It just doesn't correct. It covers too. Amen. And then we got to learn how to talk to the Lord using scripture. So everyone that I'm looking at right now and everyone online, if you've been in the kingdom for a while, you should know how to pray the word. You should know how to proclaim the word, and you should know how to praise God through and with the word. You should know how to pray the word. So we say, why don't you pray that scripture? You should be able to know how to personalize it and pray it. Not only for yourself, but for others. Like we said, the Ephesians prayers, right? The Colossians prayers, the Philippians prayers. These scriptural prayers are right in the Bible. Know how to pray them. And don't be ashamed or embarrassed to pray them, because we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Somebody said, glory to God. Amen. We depend upon the word and depend on the Holy Spirit to help us. And then fourth thing, we learn how to talk to the Lord about others. In other words, according to Ephesians 6:18, we pray all times, on every occasion, in the Spirit, supplicating and interceding on behalf of all saints. We don't just stay with a prayer list that we have. We live a prayer life that God wants us to have and wants us to live. All right, got a few minutes left. Everybody good? So God has commissioned us to grow continually and never cease progress. We should never reach the point where we're willing to lay down the daily disciplines of growth. We always say motivation gets you going, but discipline keeps you growing. So there's daily discipline to grow. We don't grow in a day. We grow every day. We are challenged to continually grow in grace, in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and grow in every way more and more like Christ. Like we said, everybody say it with me. Live, die, and what's the last one? Y'all tell me. Give. All right. Y'all listen. So if you're not growing and pushing the envelope in your spiritual life, your personal life, and if you have a professional life, then those around us in ministry or under the sphere of our influence and responsibility will fall into stagnation as well. What did we say? It correlates. Your growth helps other people grow, and it helps, in the church context, the church grow. Our church growth affects and impacts other people's growth. Our growth helps the church grow. Can somebody say amen? So first we must grow ourselves, then we can grow other people. You got to be a disciple. A fully engaged follower of Jesus, where you and really you have a real authentic relationship with Jesus, where you enjoy him every day of the week. You don't have a long distance, or you don't have a religious relationship with him. You enjoy Jesus. You can go back and think of memories, moments with the Lord that were precious to you, that were powerful to you. Amen. All right. So we can't make other people grow, but we can create an atmosphere conducive to their growth by our spiritual, personal, and professional growth. See, when we as team members or team leaders or co-laborers together in the church provide both a model and motivation for growth, we give those around us, with us, and under us an incentive that they need to progress beyond what is normal and comfortable. Because like I said earlier, it gets normal and comfortable when we say, well, I've extended my love enough. Or I've gotten hurt, so now I withhold love. I don't want to sacrifice because somebody's going to stomp on me or use me as a doormat. Or I don't want my faith to grow because I got enough, I make enough, I'm satisfied enough. But see, your faith is supposed to be effective. And you're supposed to be really skilled and learned in activating your covenant blessings and benefits. All right? So when I say spiritual growth, in one sense, I'm referring to our alignment, acceleration, and assimilation, our character in Christ, our faithful pursuit of high holy heavenly calling in Christ, and our unwavering and unswerving commitments to the word and will of God, to making Christ the focal point and centerpiece of our celebrations. That's the C. We celebrate Jesus, but he's the centerpiece. He's the focal point. Some people celebrate themselves. You got to move big I out and move big Jesus in to the center. Amen. To pray and to each other. This second I will is big. It's hugely important. I will grow with others. Why grow together with others? Because we cannot grow effectively as a believer in isolation or in independence. We need the laboratory of the local church, and we need the mission molding context of a ministry team to effectively help us stay healthy and grow healthy. Healthy things grow. Amen. We need to be an active part and partner in growing together individually and collectively as a family. So we think about the ministry teams in this church, in our dream team. Each ministry team should be growing spiritually. That's the first part. Numerically. Amen. And as a church, we grow financially. Those are things we can measure and kind of see. But spiritual growth is first and foremost, because that deals with our character. That deals with our commitments. It deals with our calling. Somebody say, glory to God. We're teaching some rich stuff tonight. See, healthy individuals help their respective ministry teams and departments stay healthy and grow. And this, in turn, impacts the overall health and growth of the church. Our health and growth is not in isolation and independence, which breed unhealthy and unholy celebrations of selfishness, self-righteousness, and pride. Remember, you know, everything we do is to make God look good. Everything we do, from sweeping to washing to pushing knobs to speaking to singing, everything we do is to make Jesus look good and to make God look good. See, if my name or your name or the name of the church gets bigger than God, then we're in trouble. If my name gets bigger than the church, because this is his church, then this church is in trouble. Amen. So we're not supposed to be having unhealthy and unholy celebrations of selfishness, self-righteousness, and pride. Remember, our salvation is personal, but never private. Too many privacy and privatized Christians, because they say, well, I'll grow the way I want to grow. I won't read. I won't study. I won't be accountable. I won't be disciplined. That's unhealthy habits. See, together with others basically means we gather together with others in church to learn and receive through our worship and the word. We, in the big church, in the church service, we receive instruction, inspiration, and impartation. And growing together in the various groups, in the smaller context, you know, from house to house, as the scripture says, is accountability, it's sharing, it's deep relationships, and it's life change. Because your life cannot change or be transformed outside of the context of a healthy relationship. You and I get transformed and changed, and life changes in the context of a God-ordained, righteous, supernatural relationship. Why are groups important? You know, school of the Bible, Sunday school, small groups, faith-like groups, whatever you want to call it, women's, men's groups, because transformation can only occur in the context of a connected and committed relationship. You can't disciple from a distance. You got to get involved and let iron sharpen iron in your relationships. And it's Acts 2, 40 through 47. I'm going to skip down to verse 45. And they sold the possessions and goods and divided them among all as everyone had need. So they were generous. So they continued daily with one accord in the temple, big church service, and breaking bread from house to house, small group, smaller context of the church. And they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who should be saved. See, we see the model and pattern outlined in these verses listed above. We know that this is a consistent theme throughout church history. Gatherings in large and small groups. Why do you need a small group? Because you need to get up close and personal with people. And we need both to grow together with others. There's a study that shows Christians who serve and actively participate in small groups or ministry teams are 5 times more engaged and committed than Sunday or large worship service only attenders and members. That's why what we say, it's our call during this time to be the church. Being the church and building a church means that we choose to grow together with others. Now, there's 4 factors. I'm going to give you these 4 real quick because of time. 4 factors growing together with others. Ephesians 4, 15 through 16. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way, more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. See, these passages, these verses illustrate a Christian who gets in, who fits in, and who stays in the church and on a ministry team or a small group. Some people say, well, I don't want people in my business. I don't want people holding me accountable. I want to do what I want. Well, that's the wrong attitude. Your pastor has a pastor's disciple group. We have overseers over us that we check in with regularly. We're accountable. So everyone in the church should desire to be accountable, to be connected and committed to other people. I mean, I had my regional director call me today, and he's always checking up, ask me how I'm doing. But he's looking how I'm thinking, how I'm talking, what's happening. Why? He's getting a pulse check. I'm accountable to him. See, if you're not engaged in the worship service, then you're really not connected to the church. If you're not engaged in a group or a ministry team, then you're really not committed to the church. So if you don't attend and come to the worship service, the big church, the worship service, then you're not connected to church. If really connected to the church, if you're not engaged or with a group or ministry team, then you're not really committed to the church. See, there's one level of connection, but there's another level of commitment. Now, there's 4 factors. I'm going to give you all 4 right now as we get ready to close. Number 1, first is a relationship factor. If you're not in a group or a small group, if you don't have faith friends, if you're not serving in the ministry team, then you could be a Christian sluggard. That means you may be lazy or uncommitted Christian. That means you're unwilling to grow spiritually and together with other Christians. If nobody's looking at you and listening to you, tell your accountability to the Word, to God, to the things of God, to the Lord Jesus, and your enjoyment of Jesus, then the relationship factor is missing. Somebody should be able to talk to you about your spirituality and your spiritual growth. Amen. There's the ministry factor. It simply means that you're willing to partner and do ministry and co-labor and carry out a missional focus and contribute towards the mission's work of the church. What's the big mission? That means I'm part of the mission. I'm doing my part to help this church fulfill and accomplish its mission. Amen. Remember, faith is not about sitting. It's not about watching. It's about doing. It's about working together with God. All right? Third, the teaching factor. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. So you operate in those three environments of learning. The first one is the preaching and teaching from the ministry gift. That's me, your pastor, Pastor Cynthia, and the others, elders who teach and preach. Because, you know, you get knowledge and understanding. Your personal devotional time, praying and reading your Bible, and then you're interacting with others. Those three environments help you learn and teach you things. We all are students. We are disciplined learners of the Lord and people over us in the Lord, around us in the Lord, as a disciple. Fourth and last thing is the evangelism factor. Healthy teams and groups grow. Faith-like groups matter. Why? Because the health of the church is directly tied to the health of the team or the group. In other words, if we spiritually sick and stagnant people on the team, the group will choose to crash or cope instead of change. Change means grow. Then they can cause the team or group to become or be unhealthy. They can cause the team or the group to be or become unhealthy. Ministry teams and groups help to close the back door of the church. When every member commits to being and becoming a minister, in other words, active and committed member of a ministry team and or group, then the church becomes significantly stronger and healthier. Every ministry team or group should be recruiting and inviting people to the team or the group. Why? Because groups matter. Connections matter. You become only what you're committed to. Praise God. Let's just lift our hands and come on, if you can stand there, just lift our hands and thank God for the opportunities that He will give us to grow. To grow together with others. The opportunities over the next couple of weeks as we have group sessions for the opportunities that he will give us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunities to grow and develop into being a disciple and becoming a discipler or disciple maker. Thank you for helping us make disciples who make other disciples in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you want to grow us. And you want to grow us healthy, and we want to be healthy, Lord. So if there's a sin right now, go ahead and talk to the Lord about it. If there's a sin that you commit, don't be feeling bad, because what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood. So you plead the blood. You ask for the blood of Jesus to be applied to your life. Sins of commission, sins of omission, mean something the Lord told you to do, you're not doing. You're in rebellion or disobedience toward. You got to do it. Repent right now. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I missed it. I messed up. It's my fault. I take the blame, Lord. But I ask for your mercy. I ask for your forgiveness to forgive me of my sin, the sin. Or maybe it's the lie that you've listened to or you're being deceived by. You know, there's so many conspiracy series that have intoxicated Christians. And Christians are believing a whole bunch of lies and loose-lipped people who are telling them things outside of the Bible, when our bedrock of truth and the foundation of our faith is the Word of God. What does the Word say? So if we're believing the lie, if we're listening to the lies of the enemy or enemies of God, hallelujah, go ahead and repent of it right now. And perhaps it's a wound. You're carrying a hurt. We've been hit hard by life or by a relationship situation. Go ahead and give it to the Lord. So, Lord, you said you would heal us of a broken heart. You would bind up our wounds. And here I am, Lord. Heal me of a broken heart and bind my wounds. I don't want to be wounded anymore. See, soldiers can't serve wounded very long. because they can't take any more hits, or they can't endure any more hurts that come their way. And ministry is a contact sport, like football or basketball, some of these other ones that they bump into each other, hard foul each other. You will get hit, you will get hurt, but you got to be able to bounce back. And you can't do it if you're wounded. Father God, we don't want to be wounded warriors where we're hurting in our heart and in our soul realm, in our emotional capacity to love and to lead and to listen to other people and to grow in faith. Father, we ask for your healing touch upon our hearts and upon our lives in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All to the glory of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 If you prayed that prayer with us, you go ahead and tell us.